This month, I'll be producing several programs about topics requested by WXPR listeners during their October pledge drive. Today, I'm going to talk about gray jays. These birds visit a listener named Laura when she's at her shack in the Glidden Melon area. They show up out of nowhere and follow Laura around. She describes them as dreamy, probably for the strangely silent flight, surprisingly soft vocalizations, and soft gray color like a lovely eerie mist that leads me to call them ghost-like. But Laura's term is more apt, assuming gray jays are constantly dreaming of food. Ghosts can't eat, but gray jays spend much of their waking hours pigging out, searching for their next meal, and squirreling away every morsel that they can't squeeze into an already full stomach. They produce copious amounts of saliva, which they use to coat every food bolus before caching it away. That saliva protects the food from decomposition, keeping it edible for when the jay needs a meal, sometimes months later. People often ask me why blue jays can't be quiet and nice like gray jays, but 88% of an adult blue jay's diet is vegetal. You could squawk your head off all day long and acorns won't run and hide. The vast majority of a gray jay's diet is animal. During spring and summer, they feed on eggs and baby birds, adults downing them lustily as well as feeding them to their young. The only times I've ever seen a blue jay raid a nest, it's been to get food for its hungry babies, who need animal protein and calcium from bones and eggshells to grow. Robins and other songbirds get agitated if a blue jay approaches their nest, but otherwise they seem to welcome the presence of blue jays, who warn a whole neighborhood of every danger. I've never seen a gray jay in spring or summer without seeing at least a half dozen other birds desperately trying to chase it away. And gray jays don't see other predators as dangers to squawk at, but as opportunities. When they're not raiding nests, gray jays follow foxes, coyotes, wolves, bears, and people, hoping to capitalize on a successful hunt. No wonder they're so quiet. My own personal favorite gray jays are the ones that live near the Spruce Road off Highway 1 near Ely, at the intersection with Endless Waters Road. These jays have trained birders to bring peanuts and other food for them. But even though birders have predictable habits, the timings of their comings and goings can be unpredictable. So most of the jays don't spend much time at the intersection. They do whatever gray jays do wherever they feel like it, while one bird at a time serves as a sentinel, perched on a tall tree right at the intersection. When a car of likely birders pulls over, the jay sends out the message, and within minutes its family, a mate and one or two young, materializes as if from thin air. Within a few more minutes, often a second family unit joins them. The birds have to size up the people. Not everyone is both patient and kind enough to deserve having a gray jay alight on him. The jays test the food, and if it passes muster, they approach closer. Sometimes they remember an individual and within seconds are landing on head and hands. Sometimes they keep their distance. I'm not sure what signals they use to decide a person isn't entirely trustworthy. It could be something as subtle as a jacket zipper pull that reminds them of another person who tried to hurt them, or as obvious as a Minnesota Vikings cap. Whatever it might be, the jays keep their distance from some people even while lighting right on others. As dangerous as they are to baby birds, and as opportunistic and sly as they can be, justifying their camp robber nickname, gray jays look like chickadees on steroids and are just as endearing. Arthur Cleveland Bent wrote of them, "This much maligned bird has its redeeming traits. It greets the camper when he first pitches camp with demonstrations of welcome and shares his meals with him. It follows the trapper on his long trails through the dark and lonesome woods where any companionship must be welcome. It may be a thief and at times a nuisance, but its jovial company is worth more than the price of its board." Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.